Blog Talk Radio.
Monday world, this is Gray Eye Smith, and you're listening to The Garden of Enlightenment with Louie Wildove. Unfortunately, Louie Wildove has been under the weather and won't be hosting the show, so it's me. This show is brought to you by a group on All Poetry called Late Night Poets, and allpoetry.com is the largest website in the world, and yeah, so that's where we're from. We have anthologies available under the same moniker of Late Night Poets, available on Amazon.com. Feel free to check those out as they help support shows. That said, I'm going to post the first poem into the studio, or into the group. There we go. And Louie Wildove appears to be in the group. I'll check and see if she's in the studio. And she is. Hello, Wild One. Miss Louie Wildove herself. Unmute.
Ha ha! I was talking to myself. It's that pill.
Yeah.
I pulled my back, so I took a pain pill, so I'm kind of like dinging. If you hear some snoring, I hope I don't fall asleep.
Well, we hope you stay with us, too. All right. So I posted the first link. Did you want to read that, please?
Okay. Let me go.
Thank you.
Let's see. This is by Stan Holliday, and it is titled, By Your Leave. Enfold me in your loving arms and mold yourself against my chest. I've long been captive to your charms, which far exceed all of the rest. Let me smell your silken hair, its perfume of late autumn wine, which breeze sends flying everywhere, a halo burnished by sunshine. Then thrill me with a familiar form. I've memorized each swelling curve, which on cold nights helps keep me warm, a warmth I know I don't deserve. And as we walk down our life's trail, we got high wind. Let's do it strolling hand in hand, knowing my love will never fail. My heart is always in your hand. Oh, that's pretty.
This is a beautiful read on that, do you? But enfold me in your loving arms and mold yourself against my chest. I've long been a captive to far exceed all the rest. When somebody holds that particular charm that wipes away everybody else's, you know, that's powerful. And then, you know, the embrace itself is beautiful. But I really like, then throw me with the familiar form. I've mesmerized each swelling curve, which on cold nights help keep me warm, a warmth I know I don't deserve. Yeah, that's another beautiful stanza as well. But then, you know, the ending, as we walk down our life's trail, let's do so strolling hand in hand, knowing my love will never fail. My heart is always in your hand. Yeah, that's just beautiful. Excellent, Ray. Great read. What do you think, Lee?
Well, I really just thought the rhyme was just fantastic. I really liked the imagery in the second stanza where, you know, he says, let me smell your hair. It's perfume of the late autumn wine. It says, which breezes scent flying everywhere. You could just literally see that, a halo burnished by sunshine. I just thought that was so lovely.
Absolutely. Great comment, Leah. Okay, so apparently we have Naomi on hold.
Okay.
Hello, Naomi.
Hey.
Hey, Naomi.
Hello.
Hi, sweetie. How are you doing?
Hello. I'm doing fine. I'm coughing, too. But,
man.
I'm trying to
get
over it. Ah, my gracious, eh? I've been holding on to this for 2 weeks, like just coughing my brains out. But, it's worse than in the evenings. But, it's true, eh? It's always worse in the evenings, and when you go to sleep, as soon as you put your head on the pillow, then the coughing starts. So you don't sleep all night.
You're so tired.
Yeah, and I never get a cold, but this year I don't know. The spring, I don't know what it is there, but anyway, I'm just frustrated with the whole thing. Anyway, what can you do?
And I keep muting myself so I don't cough, and then I forget to unmute.
Welcome.
Yeah, it's just it's allergy season.
I don't have any allergies, but I think it's just because I went to the gas bay to visit my folks. And, you know, it's like a 7-hour drive. And, I got tired. And then the air, the motel room, the air conditioning, well, it was like hot and cold and hot and cold. And, So we came back all sick from that trip.
Oh,
the whole family. But anyway.
Oh, no.
It's life.
Well, welcome.
Mm-hmm.
Did you get a chance to hear Neil? Will you read that?
Yeah. Oh, my gracious. Such a beautiful write. I just love, let me smell your silken hair. It's perfume of late autumn wine, which Bree sends flying everywhere, a halo burnished by sunshine. That stanza right there, just you know, it's full of such beautiful imagery, you know.
Agreed.
And just word it just perfectly, you know. So I just love that stanza. But I mean, the whole thing all through is just a loving, loving poem there. Just so beautiful.
Agreed.
Great comment. Thank you, Naomi. Would you mind reading the next one, Naomi, please?
No problem. Just get to it here. I'm getting to it. Okay, this is Rekindled Villanelle. As the candles melt, two burning hearts melt along. Entombed Salacy will be unbonded after years. Two souls will dance on the rekindled love song. Our arms are the abdobes where our bodies belong. Our clement touches reach beneath bodily layers as the candles melt, two burning hearts melt along. Suffocations due to fake efforts of being strong will liberate through a pious stream of tears. Two souls will dance on the rekindled love song. Way from hall to bedroom is like a year, light year long. Moving upstairs, your mind sighs, whisper in my ears as the candles melt, two burning hearts along. Drowned in each other, far from clamorous throng, far from growling bosses and pressurizing peers, two souls will dance on this rekindled love song. Everything will be all right. Together we can't be wrong. I don't fear tomorrow, as love has conquered all fears. As the candles melt, two burning hearts melt along. Two souls will dance on the rekindled love song and poem.
Beautiful read, Naomi. And, you know, this has heart and soul in it. You know, it speaks to the bond felt between two people as they connect and drown each other, far from clamorous throng, far from growling bosses, and pressurizing peers. Their two souls will dance on rekindled love song. Excellent, right? Great read as well. Leah, what did you think?
I thought Naomi did such a beautiful job in reading this. I love the way you read it. This is such a gorgeous poem. You know, it just talks about, you know, how love can stay so beautifully fresh after years and, you know, after working long years. And I really like this stanza where Naomi read, what way from hall to bedroom is like a light year long. Moving upstairs, your mouth sighs, whisper in my ears as the candles melt, two burning hearts melt along. You know, that chemistry that lovers have.
Absolutely, yeah. Beautiful comment, Lou. And Naomi, what are your thoughts?
Yeah, I just love this. You know, the repetition of two souls will dance on the rekindled love song. And then the repetition also of as the candles melt, two burning hearts melt along. You know, the idea of the as the candles, you know, the candles could be the bodies, it could be life itself. You know, as Lou, you mentioned, the working long hours, and or it could be just the candles, the romantic kind of the candles, but you know, the working long hours or working a long life, and then meeting up with each other. You know, he says it so well. Two souls will dance on the rekindled love song. Just meeting up after, you know, being maybe after retirement and just re-bonding with each other there and, you know, growing stronger. So I just love this whole thing all through.
Excellent comment, Naomi. Thank you. Okay, I've got the next poem up. It's called Amongst the Flowers Rare by Keith M. Drew. In solitude that stems me there, amongst the fragrant flowers rare, reclined with dystopic taste, my life and loves so congregate. To whinnied sighs from distant eyes, resounding clouds do burst surprise. Tattered, clothed, within the rags of my motion, love long lost, spreading its devotion. Yes, red within a timeless end, so to send me often wishing. Seasons pile, that one not parted, end as lovers kissing. Reasons then, no more are they, reached in all I am to stay. With glee life races from me, to seek not, but to be free. Beaten strands of corn may blow, headless the winds of never know. But all but then, so left to me, be it dreamed in a break of bough, the fruit to see. All did always ask, to forge in truth my heart's belief, rested never once in glory, but seen, but only grief. Creaked in marrow, so to the gray the temple for my aching soul, body clinging that where youth cannot follow through. Caved within me a dark ingrained prayer, nor wisdom rearranged. Learned then silence to proceed of all, for it does so nothing call. Only that in all of soul, that which mortal I behold, never knowing, always seeking, so this heaven to unfold. Searching unfettered, soft embrace, their relics yet not be known, not being blind by form, and never know what I have seen. Born as though to tame the gift, so given then within, bestowed in all of innocence, yet pained as if to sin. God smiles as heart beguiled by love to need, shown to frolic not in fields where man doth feed. All that I am, littered by their lust, thrown as bone to growl upon, the arches of mistrust. Never more it be will I implore it, dance in heart and souls, ignore to it. Grace me in open fields that I may rest in care. Child me frolic innocence amongst the flowers rare. End poem. Well, that's deep. That's a deep, deep poem. It speaks to finding the child inside and keeping it alive through all of life's trials and tribulations. I thought it was beautifully done. Excellent, right? Excellent poem. What did you think, Lee?
Well, I think you did a fantastic job in reading it. And, you know, this poem that's written by Keith, it is, you know, it's so in-depth where, you know, he's talking about his life. And like you were mentioning, you know, everything that you go through life with. And, you know, it's just there where he, you know, he says that now he sees, you know, even though he couldn't see then, that the love, the purity of the fragrance of the flower is the most important, you know, the love that you have for someone.
Absolutely. Wonderful comment, Louise. Thank you. And Naomi, what are your thoughts?
Yeah, there's some lines that, you know, you analyze this so astoundingly, but there's some lines in here that I really, really loved like resounding clouds do burst surprise. And then with glee life races so from me to seek me not but to be free. And then be it dreamed in beak of bough, the fruit to see. Seems that he finishes every couplet with something, you know, with a like a positive thought there. And then to end it with child, me frolicked, innocence amongst the flowers rare. Wow, that was an awesome, awesome way to end the poem. Just beautiful.
Agreed.
You know, a deep, profound, and an amazing write.
That was a great comment, Naomi. Thank you. And Lee, if you're up next, please. Hello, Lee Wildov. Shopping fit. Give her a second here. Well, maybe you can give it a read if you don't mind, Naomi, please.
Okay.
You can't hear me?
No.
I'm sorry. Go ahead, Naomi. I'll read afterwards.
No. We can hear you now.
Okay, I'm sorry. I thought I was unmuted. Okay. Ode to Nature by Julie347. Nature, real or before, was created of peace, hope, love. Nature, mother to all animals, every fallen leaf from the wind and the grass, dancing together to a tune by herself, her children. The birds sing like a violin, all for us, and a wonder like a passion, all created to sing with the birds, that mother of love, peace, reality, dedicated for us, in hopes of pleasure, uninvincible love that is shown by our surroundings, as if I don't see. I do. We all do. Every fallen leaf, river current, bird song, whistling dance of the wind, all of it given to us by our mother. A bond, a love, a little petal from a dandelion being blown by us. The dancing, fluttering flow in the wind like a river of air. The dandelion petal flowed through that river. The dandelion petal, ever so small, chooses not to swim, but to sink, leading to a death given all from her, all nature, our mother, a smooth pebble at the bottom of the river, smooth for a cause of care, sifted water, given weight to the surface, grasping for air, a rebirth of the death from a tiny petal with no worth. Over time, every second cared by a life, a mom, a nature, a single little seed, all the same things, as small as a blade of grass danced to the songs sung by the wind. Clouds walk away from the sun, making us see light isn't day, light is hope, and vision of the invisible, our love found in the smallest things, parting two ways in the path of a song once unknown. End poem.
Well, that was a beautiful ode to Mother Nature. I really found it fascinating, you know, her invisible love that is shown by our surroundings, as if I don't see, I do. We all, every fallen leaf, every fallen leaf, river current, bird song, whistling dance of the wind, all of it given to us by our mother, a bond, love, the little petals from a dandelion being blown by us. You know, you can picture picking up one of those, dandelion bulbs that float away in the wind when we blow on them and make wishes on them. You know, they fall to their death but create life in their being there. And I thought it was just a beautiful expression. Excellent ode to Mother Nature. What did you think, Naomi?
Yeah, I think this is just so lovely. It's just so airy and light, and you know, it just like the dandelion, it just floats along here across the page. Just a beautiful tribute to Mother Nature, like you said. You know, I just love the love found in the smallest things, parting two ways of the path of a off sight once unknown. But you know, the love found in the smallest things, the light that is hope, and you know, that makes us see every day, sang by the wind, the clouds, you know, from the sun, you know, as small as a blade of grass dance, you know, just beautifully composed all the way through. And just a lovely, lovely piece here.
Great comment. Thank you, Naomi. And Lou, what are your thoughts?
I was looking at her author's notes. Can you hear me, Grace?
Yes.
And she says, I'm 12, but I have a voice, and she says that this was about little things.
Oh, wow.
You know, it's just amazing how beautiful and airy she takes us through the life of nature that we see every day, the clouds, the sunshine, and then that dandelion petal that we blow and its journey through life. And that's, you know, she took us and we traveled that journey through life with that little dandelion seed. Beautiful poem.
Absolutely. Wonderful comment, Lou. Thank you. And I've got the next poem up, if you wouldn't mind, please, Naomi.
Yes. This is by Qualley. Summer Breeze. When I was stranded in chores of strumming wind, and waves kept climbing on as the ocean held the sun, you were holding me as my toes the waters tease, gently whispering, just feel the summer breeze and the sounds of desolate. In this world of greed and hate, I was lost, just wondering, what's the point of anything? That's when you anchored me, and my worry began to cease when I heard you whispering, just feel the summer breeze. But the dusk crept to the night when I lost you from my sight. Now I wait all alone to tread tomorrow's dawn on my anchors drifted on. And the waves wrinkled my knees, tall, holding on just to feel the summer breeze. I feel you in the summer breeze. End poem.
Beautiful read, Naomi. And that's a delightful poem. You know, it really captures the essence of having somebody anchor you and carry you from, keep you from drifting away in that summer breeze. But the summer breeze becomes them in the end, which is just beautiful but sad. Her being alone until to tread tomorrow's dawn. Oh, my anchors drifted on, and the waves wrinkle my knees. Yet I stand tall, holding on, just to feel the summer breeze. I feel you in the summer breeze. Yeah, that's a beautiful sentiment there. What did you think, Lou?
I thought Naomi did a beautiful job in reading this. What I like about this poem is, you know, where we find ourselves when we meditate in nature. You know, he talks about how he's meditating in nature. And, you know, the thoughts that run through our head, you know, where he says, and the sounds are desolate in a world of greed and hate. You know, you just wonder, you know, is life worth living? Is life worth going on? And he did find that it was, because he heard the whispering of the breezes and somebody's voice that told him that it was. Beautiful poem. Beautiful read, Naomi.
Mm-hmm. Thank you.
Great comment. Thank you. And Naomi, what are your thoughts?
Yeah, this is just beautiful. You know, those sweet summer breezes can turn into quite a storm if you don't have somebody there along with you to just, you know, to, like he says, anchor you and then guide you at times, or just be there, you know, just to listen to the to when you need them. You know, this is just beautiful the way he expresses the whole that whole idea of having someone by your side to help you in times of need. It's beautiful, beautifully expressed and worded all throughout.
Great comment, thank you. And so I'm going to post the next poem here. Once I can find it. Okay. And this is by Doc Frank. There we go. Okay, I don't know why it disappeared when I posted it. All right. This is called Message from a Rose by Doc Frank. My petals, love notes, circular,
yeah.
My waiting arm, aroma,
okay.
Your perfume, core, I love you, and poem. Well, it was touching. You know, it felt like a sweet little love note to his partner. I thought it was just beautifully crafted. And, you know, it really captures the essence of love and a rose. Just beautifully done. What did you think, Leah?
Well, I just thought that this was just a lovely brevity in read, you know, where he talks about where the center of love is always that person's heart. And that's what I got there, that the love is the aroma, the perfume from the center of the rose. Beautiful, beautiful brevity.
Great comment. Thank you, Lee. And what are your thoughts, Naomi?
Yeah, well, I thought this was very beautiful, but also very clever and witty. You know, the way he moves from the outward petals into the middle, the core there, which is the center that says, I love you, you know, with all the perfume there. And it's just beautiful the way he crafted this little brevity here. Just great job, Doc Frank.
Well, thank you, Naomi. Okay, I'm going to post the next link. And if you wouldn't mind, please, when you see it, Leah.
Great. Can you check the line? Because I saw that Bobby's in the group.
Oh, okay. Hello and welcome, Bobby.
Hey, Bobby.
Hi,
hey,
Bobby.
Hi, Bobby. Welcome, welcome, welcome.
Thank you.
Since you went around having everybody read already, I don't know if you would like Bobby to read next. That way we don't get out of turn.
God forbid that should happen.
Right.
Exactly.
Yeah. Yeah. Would you mind reading that for me, Bobby?
Ev, My Love and More?
Yes.
The one by Kirby's, Kiev, My Love and More. I want you more than Cleopatra with her constant edges of tonight, tongue-tied and perfect, wondering, tired eyes, death of me up high, crucial and alone, rockets along the Dnieper, those of us in buildings built like war rooms that come and go, Kiev, I want you, stars looking inward, then out, before, after, in between. Armageddon, hey, Armageddon, know what I mean? Low, 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 understand how you felt in my hands. Shut up when I want to pretty me blind. Sometimes at the hardware store, I see you out. I don't need the nativity, just for you. I read the newspapers just for you. I buy bread and poem.
That was a wonderful read, Bobby. And, you know, this speaks to his love of Kiev and the nightmares that they're going through. before the in-between Armageddon. Hey, Armageddon, know what I mean? Low, low, low. Understand how you felt in my hands. And then, shut up, I want to pretty me, blinded. Just a haunting poem. What do you think of you?
You know, the agony people are going through. There's no words to feel the heartache and the depth of the tears. You know, watching these war rooms come and go and just destroy everything that you have become accustomed to, or your past life, or your family's life, or your heritage, and just, you know, it's just difficult for us just to watch it. For somebody to want freedom, for it to be taken away and to be imprisoned to work as slaves, I mean, every day you watch news, it gets worse.
Mm-hmm.
And I can't imagine the heartache that these people are going through. Beautiful read and beautiful poem.
Well said, thank you, Lou. And Naomi, what are your thoughts?
Oh, I agree with Lou. You know, it's such a, you know, it's such a, so sad, but at the same time, it's so, you can feel the anger here, you know, when you shut up, you know, you can, it is anger, you know, it doesn't make you angry, you know, how come in 2022, we're still have this war. You know, we still know these wars. Haven't we learned from history? Haven't we learned from the past? You know, how come man's, you know, it's just the wanting more and more and more, and the cupidity of man, you know, that never has enough and always wants more. And, it's just such a hard-hitting and well-composed write here that, you know, speaks to your heart. So very well written throughout.
Well said, thank you.
Were you speaking to me?
Yes.
Oh, all right. You broke up. This is very personal for me. I have a friend, a very, very dear friend, who has family in Kyiv. My neighbors are Ukrainian. They have family there. My neighbor lady, she has not been able to contact her brother for weeks.
Wow.
Plus the fact that I'm of Slavic descent, very proud. My grandfather was part Lithuanian, which was another country that was taken over by Russia and turned into a satellite. And now they're trying to rebuild, get the satellites back. It's a very meaningful piece because you see this going on and you read it and you feel like Naomi says, you feel angry, but I feel anger and I feel impotence. I mm-hmm. wish there was something I could do. You know, it just angers me and it makes me impotent. And the last stanza means a lot. Sometimes at the hardware store, I seek you out. I don't need the nativity. Just for you, I read the newspapers. Just for you, I buy bread. My grandmother, who taught herself to read, used to very proudly sit and read the newspaper. And to my grandmother and grandfather, bread was sacred. You didn't, if you dropped a slice of bread on the floor, when you picked it up, you kissed it, because that was life. And just for you, I buy bread. So it's enraging. But I did read something today that I'd like to share because it made me shout hooray. There have been five senior generals that have been taken out, Russian senior generals that have been taken out since the beginning of the aggression, and they have been taken out by the one thing the Russians were best at in World War II, the Ukrainians have turned the Russians' best trick back on them. They have been taking them out with snipers. And I fucking love it.
Hmm.
Mm-hmm.
During World War II, the Russians had the best snipers in the world, and half of them were women.
Well,
so the snipers are taking the Russian generals out, and I fucking love that. Excuse me.
Yeah. No kidding, hey? Crazy. Great comment, Bobby. Thank you. Okay. All right, so I've got the next poem, I believe, if you wouldn't mind, please.
Who? Gray?
Lou, you?
Oh, okay. Oh.
Yeah.
I didn't hear my name. Sorry. And this is titled Soar by Daniel Deschino. I fly. I have flown to soaring limits, touching twilight, kissing constellations, but I still only hovered just below the heavens. I cannot grow when I fly. For that, I must rest. And to close my wing is to say goodbye to the air and the wind and plummet to the earth on rocks and dirt. And the greatness of an elevated journey may give birth to greatness of the depths on which to fall, which mighty force to a death might not to return. But winds I have seen, storms I have survived. Oh, my goodness. Somebody's going to have to read. Naomi,
so humbly they are, they take me out of the skies, they force me to the earth, of which I am so frightened, and I wait and think and grow. I have no choice, I must, for I abhor the antithesis of I quit, I disbelieve, I die. And sometimes I do sleep, not to dream, but for travel to the next day. But when sometimes dreams may come of a past me that seem like dreams, something that was. And when I wake, I am not a dream. I am real. I am what I have become and fly again, higher today than ever before, a cocoon of experience unleashed, a butterfly on an upward breeze, a hawk above a clear open field, and an eagle lost in the heights of sunshine. I am, become, or die. End poem.
Beautiful, Naomi. And, you know, this is a contest from a quote image prompt, and it says, perhaps the butterfly is proof that you can go through a great deal of darkness, yet become something beautiful. So I thought he captured that prompt to be excellent. You know, we all soar and fly, and sometimes we get dragged down to the depths of despair, but we sleep and rest and think and fly again just to know that it wasn't all a dream. Beautiful poem. What did you think, Lou?
Well, I think you guys kind of caught. Thank you, Naomi, for rescuing me. This really touched me deeply.
Mm-hmm.
You know, because, you know, when you're that cocoon and you've told your whole life you're stupid and you're ugly, it takes so much not to quit, not to disbelieve, not to die, and to take those wings and to soar into the beauty that's in the sky, because I live, because if I don't live, I would die.
Absolutely. Thank you, Leah. Big hugs. And, Bobby, what did you think?
This is exquisite. So emotional. It's so powerful. And it's so transcendent. It talks about either you fly and you live, or you simply exist on the ground, waiting for the next time that you can fly. And they take me out of the skies. They force me to the earth, of which I am so frightened. And I wait and think and grow. I have no choice. I must. Or I abhor the antithesis of I quit, I disbelieve, I die. That is so powerful. It is so life-affirming that this is something that's ever going to be a real survivor. And when I wake, I am not a dream. I am real. I am what I have become, and fly again. That it's so powerful. It talks about the possibilities of change and of not ever giving up, which sometimes is simpler spoken than accomplished. But still, it's just am, become, or die. The ending is just, it's a very powerful piece, very moving.
Well said. Thank you, Bobby. And Naomi, what are your thoughts?
This is such an amazing, amazing write. I mean, you know, there's such a metaphor here for just, you know, like you said, living in your dreams, living all you can be, or just dying, you know, without those dreams, you know. And there's something really seizing in that stanza that Liu read there. I cannot grow when I fly, for that I must rest. And to close my wings is to say goodbye to the air and wind and plummet to earthbound rocks and dirt. You know, to go back to the rocks and the dirt, to you know, to say goodbye to your dreams, you know, to re-seize yourself, or to refold all your wings inside on yourself, and to hide there a bit. But you know, you see the hope in the last stanza when he says, a cocoon of experience unleashed, a butterfly on an upward breeze, a hawk above a clear open field, and an eagle lost in the heights of sunrise. So you see the hope there of him coming alive again there. I am, become, or die. You know, it's either live fully, or die just a little bit, piece by piece, I think he's saying in here. Just a beautiful, beautiful write by Daniel DeShino. Awesome.
Great comment, Naomi. Thank you. Okay, at the next. Oh, sorry. I'd like to welcome Frank to the show. Hello, Frank.
Hello, can
hey,
you hear
Frank.
Me? Hello,
Frank. Hi, Frank.
Hello there. I too was very much touched by this poem here. I think when you talk about a cocoon, you talk about a metamorphosis as well. I think all of us at one stage in our lives have gone through this, you know, this type of metamorphosis. I can certainly understand you here. I have to have gone through this. So it was a very powerful poem, and I have to commend, Daniel on this piece here.
Well said. Thank you, Frank. Okay, I've got the next poem up. It's by Titus Luan. And it's a dedication to Liu Wildove called Sleeping Beauty, Pocahontas, by Titus Luan. And here's the sound code. Oh, sorry.
I look forward to listening.
Okay, here we go.
Dedication to Luhu Wild Dove, Sleeping Beauty, Pocahontas. Wishing you a speedy recovery. I look forward to listening to you on your shows. Love and best wishes, Titus. Dear Luhu, alas, I have chosen two heroines whose strength is survival, for which you are the third, Luhu Wild Dove. You being held captive for the time being, dear lady, for you do personify Pocahontas and Sleeping Beauty, and me merely your surroundings. For I am feeling rather helpless right now that I couldn't be close at hand to aid your obvious impasse, thus blending into the background to oversee with thoughts on what little else I can do. I apologize to call it purely drama and nothing else, to imagine a time when the Cherokees themselves were being unsettled relentlessly from pillar to post. It seems their spirits have heard your call to give you strength at a time during which you will recover, that you will in no time at all be caressed by the Cherokee spirit. And so far removed that tiny little feather, ain't ya? Just wondering where you're heading. When all of a sudden clear blue skies tether clouds, I would have said they keep spreading. Word has it, belonging to someone so to alter your course, like those Cherokee lads in Swain. Many centuries back they'd be carrying water. After all, them thunder boys did bring the rain. Floating around, I understand you knew him. He'd keep that darn feather. By seeing it settle, them clouds would clear, eh? It's only a whim to speak of beauty. 'Tis a wild dove's fine fettle, a flawless keepsake, like a whisper in your ear, the name of Luhu. Imagine the healing power of this feather, or whether or not she'd appear. New laws and lands would navigate this bower. Cherokee nation, the full support from us all, a self-doctrine the way the wild dove displays delicately, love's ascension rising above the call, should never take for granted freedom always. It is immaculacy I dream, a clasp it does hold. I know just how it feels as she is coming back, since time immemorial, a kindness beholden, an abundance healing, a God-keeping track. Understanding the feelings believed to be true, 'tis your faith I see. Your eyes remain closed, concentrating thoughts are what gazing through the healing process which loves are supposed. You feature in a way feathers are simply lifted, like the angels that we hear you will have heard. Your retrieval is far gracious had we been gifted by the gods for having found you having stirred. We'd have kept on holding hands until revived. Such precious things do come to those who wait. Though, my lady of the morning, you have survived eminence and dignity to hide a dormant state. Given a darker countess, persuaded fear almost my own, 'tis our opposite attract, that I, a raven mystery, that ink be black, it if willed the ghost to have me write such words it leaves a craven. But you'll not know, but for the fledgling quill notably you are as deserving attention as you who will be found to be never more to be ill. A clasp against your chest will pull you through, though in our darkest times a distance shared, and knowing you are cared for holds the grace accounted for being grateful. I have compared not being loved at all to the distance both ways.
Oh my gosh.
Wow, that was a beautiful read. And, you know, he's got an author's note, but it's rather long. But, yeah, just a beautiful poem on the subject of Luhu Wild Dove in her presence in our world. A fascinating poem with care and reverence throughout. You know, he speaks to you getting better. And that's a beautiful gift to bestow upon you, in my opinion. The gift of health is, you know, something that we all wish for, and I hope that you find it soon. It's a beautiful poem, excellent, right? I really liked it a lot. And so far removed that tiny feather, ain't you? Just wondering where you're heading when all of a sudden clear blue skies tether clouds, I would have said. They kept spreading, keep spreading. Word has it belonged to somebody else. Belonging to somebody else. So word has it belonging to someone so to alter your course like those Cherokee lads in Slane many centuries back. They'd be carrying water. After all, them Thunder Boys did bring the rain. Yeah, just a beautiful poem with excellent imagery and thoughtful emotion. What did you think, Lady Wild Dove?
Can you hear me?
Yeah.
Yeah, I just thought this was, let's hope I don't break out in tears again. I thought this was beautifully penned. You know, sometimes you don't realize that there are beautiful, loving humans that are out there that, you know, pick up these little things that happen to us in our lives and that they encourage us and can, you know, ask us to keep moving forward. And my favorite stanza was, you know, because to me this isn't just physical, but it's also mental, and it's also in its dreamy state where you feel this. We have kept on holding hands until revived. When somebody that stays with you, no matter what you're going through or how long it's going to take, that they're there. And that, you know, you hope that you see another morning and you have the dignity to hide a dormant state, you know, not always having to tell people what's wrong, but that they can hear what's wrong or from a short note can understand what's wrong, that they lovingly hold your hands because it's true, opposites do attract. And, you know, I just thought this was beautifully put. I'm speechless right now.
That was wonderful, Lydia. Very beautiful. And Naomi, what did you think?
Yeah, this is so elegantly written and such a great tribute and such, you know, loving words of just loving words, you know, given a dark account, fear, he has persuaded fear almost my own, 'tis that opposite attract, an eye, a raven, mystery, that ink be black, if it willed the ghost to have me write such words, it leaves a craven, you know, just beautiful all the way through, you know. What a great testimony of, you know, of love and just, you know, feeling for someone else and encouragement and just you know, just hoping that the other person gets well. There's just beautiful, beautiful lines all throughout, and amazing, amazing right here. Just so heartfelt.
Great comment. Thank you. And Bobby, what are your thoughts?
Oh, my goodness. This is quite the piece. It's a beautiful homage to our Liu. It's it's almost like it's reverent. It's almost like a prayer. It is so classical, lyrical in its wording, and so loving and graceful. Timing, in other words, without flaw. It's also respectful of Native American heritage. Pays respect to that. This is quite the piece to write to someone. This is quite an honor, and it's beautiful, and I think it's well deserved.
Great comment, thank you. And Frank, what are your thoughts?
Oh, well, I think the poem was just a beautiful piece. You know, the music in the background was beautiful as well. You know, there's so much I could say about this poem and what I feel and what I think. You know, when I think about Liu Yu, she really is just an inspiration to all of us. And I can say, I think I can speak on behalf of all of us. You know, she is that beacon of hope there. I know that she's gone through many struggles in life, but a piece like this is one of those that just makes you smile at the same time and cry. But it makes you just realize, you know, the extent of what, you know, how much we respect each other. And it just should be, you know, we should revere each other in the sense of a token of respect, honor, love, and so be it. These are things that, that seldom we see and express, but when they are found and when we do share them with each other, we find that common ground between us that is called love. I thought it was just a wonderful poem.
Great comment, thank you. Okay, Naomi, you're up next, please, and thank you.
Okay. The Saturday clothesline. I stare at the wrinkled photograph curling at the corners, my mom and I sitting on the old wooden porch, my hand to my forehead above tiny squinted eyes. Must have been one of those stuffy, hot summer days that seems hung in bees' legs, sticky with honey. When the sky is hard and brittle, as if ready to crack open, smothered under a candy coating that muffles the breeze. I must be no older than six, and of course no smile. But I never did back then, not on one single picture. My mother has no smile either. Her arms are crossed. I notice we both have the same serious stare, as if our thoughts had floated out of our bodies to elsewhere. And then I see the crowded clothesline hanging heavy. We were too poor to own a washer and dryer, so every Saturday Mama scrubbed all our week's ghosts by hand on a washboard. The knuckle buster, she called it. Then she'd haul the heavy basket of dripping wet clean clothes out to the backyard to spread them across the clothesline. I tried to help the best I could by passing her the clothespins. I remember her singing hymns about Jesus saving the world as if she was hanging up broken souls. Perhaps a little of bit of mine so she could finally see me smile. But I really think she was hanging up all of hers, because what my mother never knew is that I was always there, always listening behind her closed bedroom door all those nights when she cried herself to sleep. End poem.
Wow, that was a beautiful read. And, you know, it's a fascinating storyline that you've got here. This child, no older than six, and of course no smile, never did back then, but not one signal picture. My mother has no smile either. Her arms are crossed. I notice we both have the same serious stare as if our thoughts had floated out of our bodies to elsewhere. And then I see the crowded clothesline hanging heavy. And then, you know, you go on to being too poor and singing hymns and just a touching poem filled with despair and sadness throughout the write. Beautifully done. Hits the heart hard. Lee, what did you think?
Naomi?
Mm-hmm.
I must have been your next door neighbor. Because this was, it was like reading my life. I was like, you know, reading it here. You know, my mother couldn't speak English, and at that time neither could I. And my mom would use that wooden silver. I can still hear it and smell it, and you know, hanging the laundry outside with clothespins. And my mom would also sing. My mom, she sings very beautiful, and she would also. I would hear her. You know, sometimes she would cry over her flower beds, or she would cry. You know, I would hear her crying in her bedroom just like your mother did. You know, and it's very difficult when you move somewhere and you don't speak the native tongue and the native language.
Mm-hmm.
Not everybody is oh so friendly. I mean, I had a lot of kids beat me up because
me
I couldn't
too,
speak
yeah.
English. You know, so, mm-hmm. you know, I understand this. I love this poem. It took me all the way back.
Thank you, Louie.
Great comment. Thank you, Louie. And Bobby, what are your thoughts?
Oh, beautifully nostalgic. What a word portrait you painted here. So beautiful. I love the way you started it. The wrinkled photograph, curling it. Visual imagery is so vivid. And it also brought back a moment for me and my grandmother, who also didn't have a washing machine, who's also very difficult for her to speak English. She did learn, but it was always very heavily accented. She washed the clothes in the bathtub with the washboard. I remember her kneeling next to this enormous bathtub, and she would hang them outside in her postage stamp backyard on the clothesline that was strung between the back porch, which was up a set of stairs and the garage. And she was always filling the laundry line up with clothes. And it just brought so much back to me. And it also reminded me of how much the parents and grandparents the sacrifices, the little things they did to make our lives better, to give us a better life. And it's that piece of that homage to your mom and her hard work that really, really touched me.
Thank you, Bob.
Thank you, Bob. And Frank, what are your thoughts?
Well, I'm going to share my own thoughts as well in this piece. I actually grew up, you know, just speaking Spanish as a kid, so it was something I had to learn English as well. And believe me, it was nothing of what I, the way I sound now. It was terrible. Nevertheless, I thought that this poem was just a beautiful, beautiful piece. The memories that you share there, you know, when you write poetry of this nature here, there's such fondness there, and even though you had to go through hardship, whatever your mother did in this case, you really just, it really hits you, you know, because you sit there and you hear this piece, and you cannot help but be, you know, taken back to your own memories, you know, childhood memories in particular, many of which I was found and some of which I was not. But this poem really moved me in that regard because it made me think of my own childhood as well and what my parents had to go through. It's grateful.
Thank you, Frank.
Thank you, Frank. And I think I'd like to welcome Sawa to the show. Hello, Sawa.
Hello.
Hi, Sawa.
Hi,
hello,
Sawa.
Hi,
Sawa.
Hi, Sawa. I came in perfect timing. Sawa, bien. Merci. I came in perfect timing to hear Naomi read. May I comment, please?
Yes, please.
Yes.
The way you read it is just so deep emotive. It really gave me goosebumps, and I love all the comments. And just I agree with everyone they said, but also made me, especially when you said, I really think she was hanging. My mother never knew that I was always there, always listening behind her closed bedroom door. Just remind me how children, we're not aware of how children really know and think more than we think they know. They try to, parents mm-hmm. try to hide it from the children and mothers. to not upset them or not, and it stays with you forever. And here you really tell the story that really moved me deeply. It's just amazing. See, my heart just really moved me deeply. It's sad and beautiful at the same time. Your love for your mom. Okay.
Yeah. Thank you, Salwa.
My pleasure.
She was an amazing, strong woman.
Yeah, she really is. Show her strength, too.
Mm-hmm. Well, yeah, well, she raised a strong woman, too. You
yeah,
know,
absolutely.
You're a very, very strong woman. Yeah. Tell.
A hell of a poet.
Yeah.
I agree.
Absolutely.
And a person.
Absolutely. Okay, Bobby, you're up next, please, and thank you.
I am.
You are.
I just had a flashback of all the times that I've gotten up on a stage. People have seen me, and I look at the crowd, and they say, unaccustomed that I am to public speaking, and everybody laughs. Speaking. This is another one of brevity contests. And my picture isn't what she had up, but it's very similar. It's called A Woman of Radiance. I feel like I ought to be reading it to you, Luyu, after that.
Oh, no.
Right? Well, I'm going to read it to all you ladies. How's that? This is for you guys, you gals out there.
No objection there.
The brighter the light, darker the shadow. Carl Jung. Nothing can dim the light which shines from within. Maya Angelou. She breathes in the sunshine and her countenance kisses the sky. Her smile drives away the clouds into hiding, challenging the sun's brilliance. Here, a spirit so incandescent, so rapturous, she steals soul's light, absorbing its radiance so the umbra beside her is as pitch as deep space. Her occlusion shadow as black as the ocean of emptiness above Terra. To live in her pure light of being is to dwell in the effulgence of Elysium. End poem.
That was a beautiful read. You know, you could feel your reverence for the spirit of the woman in this poem that you've written here. And the shadows that hides behind her is so dark that, you know, you can't, it's deep space, an ocean of emptiness. But, you know, it's a haunting poem with beautiful visual imagery and a fantastic tone to it. Excellent job, Bobby. Liu, what are your thoughts?
Can you hear me, Gray?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Can you hear me?
No, we can't.
Okay, hold on.
We can hear you now.
Yes, ma'am. Oh, dear.
No, not now.
We need to get you another.
Maybe she's calling back. Maybe she's calling back.
Yeah, maybe.
Maybe she's on mute.
Yeah, I think she must be on mute because she's still here.
Okay, can you hear me now?
Yeah.
Yes.
Right? Yes, okay.
Yeah.
I was talking, I don't know, maybe my thing was sideways. When I was listening to Bobby read this, this was so beautiful and so beautifully layered. It was like watching a jeweler build a beautiful ring that just glistens. It was just layer upon layer. I could see the beauty, the radiance of the work that you did, and then for it to hold it up where you said, her spirit so incandescent, soul so rapturous, still soul's light. And that's what I saw, this beautiful poem that is just gleaming. Gorgeous, gorgeous, Bobby.
Thank you so very much.
Great comment, Lee. Thank you. Naomi, what did you think?
Yeah, I love the way you played on light and shadow. And, you know, it through the whole poem here. And then in your AN, you say the shadows are made by blocking light. Light rays travel from a source in a straight line. So an opaque solid object gets in the way. It stops light rays from traveling through it. The result is an area of darkness appearing beyond the object. The more intense and bright the light being obstructed, the deeper the shadow that results. And I think you played on that so much, you know. The umbra beside her is as pitch, as deep space, her occlusion shadow as black as the ocean of emptiness above Terra. To live in her pure light of being is to dwell in the effulgence of Eslam. You know, just beautiful. Like Aluyu said, she chose the perfect words there of like building up this amazing jewel. It just shines so beautifully, Bobby, this piece. It's just a brilliant, brilliant brevity here. So well written, so beautiful.
Thank you, Naomi. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Naomi. Frank, what did you think?
Well, I'm going to agree here with what Naomi said in particular. You know, when you think about the darkness there, you know, it always is that sense of semblance of light. And I think you did a fantastic job. You know, the imagery was impeccable here. And I love the way you just use, I guess you would say, the whole imagery of the universe here. You bring us to Terra, but you bring us also something that's very esoteric in a certain extent, and that is Elysium, the word Elysium, which is very much Greek related. And I like that whole notion there of the importance of Elysium, because it is that immortal place, you know, that the Greeks aspired to, the afterlife.
Thank you, Frank.
Oh, you're welcome.
What a beautiful comment, Frank. And Sawa, what are your thoughts?
Oh, my goodness. Everyone said just amazing comment and an amazing, marvelous brevity, amazing tribute to women. I love how, like, you take this personification or put the woman in there. She breathes the sunshine and her countenance, bringing everything about the woman in such a delicate way. Her delicateness, her smile, and the challenge. It's not really like everything is amazing and you bring it, so the challenge in such a beautiful way, challenging the sun brilliance. It's like about life, how absorb everything and how. That's just amazing the way you played, again, like everyone said, with the light and shadow. The darker it gets, the life, the more she shines because of her strength. Incredible piece, really. Amazing. I will nominate it for the page. Super.
Yeah.
Chapeau.
Beautiful comment. And okay, so I've got Frank's write up and I'm gonna play the SoundCloud.
The voice is a seduction of the softness of raindrops. The spirit is the roaming call of the nocturnal wolf. Her eyes are the beautiful gleam of the moonlight. Her soul is the divinity of Mother Nature's wonders. Her smile is the tender purity of the colorful sky. Her laughter is the sound of the cadence of a harmony. Her heart is a precious pearl with its own unique luster. Her words are the intimacy of the whispers of the wind. Her passion for life is the sign of her humble humanity. Her devotion to her friends, families, her pride and joy. Her sincerity is the true blessing of a sweet angel. Her dedication to poetry is the elegance of a quill. Louis, you are the beacon of a grace of hope and love. Without you, the airways remain always so somber. For you are the breath of a butterfly of the spring. Without you, I am just lost within the silent darkness. I wait to hear your voice accompanying the dawn, fluttering over the garden, singing to the morning flowers with the radiance of your beauty below the emerging rainbow when you bathe in a dripping dew of the fresh scent of the petrica. Espero verte sonriendo de nuevo, volando con tus alas mi palomita, bailando las nubes más altas. Allí te encontraré, mi querida Luyo. I hope to see you smiling again, flying with your wings, my little dove, dancing on the highest clouds. I shall find you there, my dear Luyo.
Beautiful read, Frank. I love that SoundCloud. And the poem is felt heartfelt, love-filled, honoring, dedication to a beautiful woman that we all know as we Wild Dove. And, you know, she's in our hearts and she's in our mind. You know, she does make the airwaves sizzle and giggle at the same time sometimes.
Thank you very much. I just want to say I know this poem was written months ago, but I've never forgotten when in my hour of need, and she knows what I'm talking about, she was there for me. And so I have never forgotten that. I never forget those things. And that's why I've always told her, in her hour of need, I shall always be there.
Thank you, Frank.
Excellent comment. Louie, what would you like to say? Hello, Louie?
Can you hear me?
Yeah.
Hello?
Yeah, no.
Yeah, okay. This is just beautifully penned, Frank. This is just gorgeous. What I love so much about this is the relationships that we've developed over time in this poetry group. And so many of you during my most difficult times have always been there for me, have always encouraged me to go on and to move forward, you know, to be the wind beneath my wings is the best way to say it. But, you know, right here, I was actually quite surprised when you wrote this because this is what I do in the morning. I love gardens. I love flowers, flowering trees, flowers, period. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter if there are wild poppies on the mountains. It doesn't matter. You know, I have to go outside and see the morning flowers and sing to the morning birds. And you know, because this is, you know,
where am I? I don't need to cry. I'm sorry. I've been crying so much today. This is where my heart exists. It exists in the beauty of nature because that is where I learned to love and survive. And when I started writing again, I've met all of you all. And you're all a part of my life. And I love each and every one of you.
We love you.
I'd be honest with you. I had no idea, Lou, when I wrote the poem, maybe it was my intuition, but I did know that about you in the gardens and the flowers and so forth. Something intuitively that I just sensed when I wrote that piece.
Yeah, it's a beautiful thing. Naomi, what did you think?
Yeah, this is just so beautifully written. It's so so touching, and I think we all hope that, you know, you get better, Luyu, and you do better.
Thank you.
And because you are, you know, such a wonderful person to have, you know, to be part of these shows and to be part of AP, and, you know, you're always fun, and you're always, you know, you're always, like, you have always have your hand on your heart, and we feel it. We feel your genuine person, you know, and you know, when you giggle and when you laugh, and
yeah.
You know, when you and you have,
and when you
sometimes
cry.
You have when you cry, and when you have these, you know, you have always have these remarks sometimes on shows that make me laugh so hard, and you know, and you're just so much, just so enchanting to be around you, you know, and I think Frank just touched on that beauty that you are all through this amazing write of his, and just a heartfelt real write here, Frank, just an amazing tribute here.
Well, I appreciate that. Thank you very much there.
Thank you.
It was easy to be inspired there. It was very much easy.
That was a beautiful comment, Naomi. And Bobby, what did you think?
I think Frank is well in touch with his feminine side. And I say that with a deep respect, because he has described our Luyu with such reverential and loving terms, and so with such visual imagery that it's just striking. It's a reverential piece. It's loving. It's a very powerful piece, but you can sense the respect and the friendship throughout the entire piece. And so what if it's long? You said what you needed to say, and you said it the way you needed to say it, and it's beautiful. I wait to hear your voice accompanying the dawn, fluttering over the garden, singing to the morning flowers with the radiance of their beauty below the emerging rainbow. This is a beautiful, beautiful piece for a beautiful, beautiful woman.
Oh, thank you very much. I agree.
Absolutely. Thank you, Bobby. And Sawa, what are your thoughts?
Oh, my goodness. I agree with everyone. I mean, just a special human being. Your presence really enlightened the room, Luyu. Such a pleasure to get to know a person like you. Amazing. And Frank, I heard it like multiple times. Remember the first time it made me cry. Literally, I was in tears, and now it moved me again. Just so, I love what Bobby said, that you have the touch with feminine. So true. Just depicted her, who she really is, a tender human being, a passion about life. I mean, just really her voice, everything about her, and her smile, and her cry. And just you see just the effect that you put on everyone's heart. So amazing.
I was going to say really quick. I was going to say really quick. Just I'll be very brief. I have nothing wrong about, you know, touching into my feminine side. I mean, as a man, I'm secure with my masculinity. I have no problem with that, and I think that I would hope that most men can do. But I think it takes a lot of inspiration for a lot But for me, it doesn't really take that much because I understand. I know what, you know, even though we are separated by genders, man and women, you know, we're very much alike. We have so many things that are very much alike. And I think if we realize and we just share those things and just, you know, don't, you know, come in a, find a common ground with each other, I think we can. You know, I think we can always find this in each other, you know. Being a man, I have no shame in saying that, you know, having a touch of femininity in me, or if that's what it's ascribed to, I have no shame in that. I mean, I think I would be less human if I didn't.
Nothing wrong with that.
Yeah, well, that makes for beautiful poetry, Frank.
Well, I appreciate that.
Okay.
Thank you very much.
Well, you're up next.
Okay. As soon as the sweetness of dawn, dès que la douceur de l'aube, dès que la douceur de l'aube me parlera, mon corps s'éveillera petit à petit. Après un long sommeil, à nouveau mon âme vivra. Une prière me transportera avec une suprême joie. Des moments de bonheur, mon esprit pleinement s'y ensoleillera. Mon haleine dégustera la senteur de la rosée. Un chant d'oiseau déridera mes peines. Un beau papillon effleurera de loin mon visage. Et la gentillesse fera naître instantanément un délicat assouvissement en moi. Et ma volonté cherchera à prendre pour en éliminer mon soi. Ainsi le temps passera sans effacer ces instants de battements extraordinaires. As soon as sweetness is done, you speak to me. My body will awake little by little. After long sleep, once more my soul will live. Prayer will transport me with supreme joy, instance of happiness. There my spirit will be fully sunned. My breath will taste the scent of dew. Song of bird will cheer up my soul. Beautiful butterfly will brush my face from afar. The kindness will instantly bring forth delicate fulfillment in me. And my will would seek to learn, to illuminate myself. Hence time would pass, since effacing these moments of extraordinary peace and the form. I cannot say this word in English. I can't try so hard.
No, you did it beautiful.
Extraordinary. Here we go. Thank you.
No, you did a beautiful read on that, Tawa. And the poem is, you know, it's beautiful. You know, it speaks to waking up and finding the joy of life to carry on with. And, you know, hence time will pass, sans effacing these moments of extraordinary beats. There's a haunting last line there, so beautiful poem, excellent read as well.
Thank
Lee,
you.
What did you think?
Can you hear me?
Yes.
You know, Sala, this was just beautifully read. You know, all of us go through so many different painful things in our life. And I think sometimes we forget to look at the simple joys of life. And I thought you caught this here because, you know, sometimes when we go to sleep, we have tears in our eyes or, you know, there's a heaviness from worries. And then, you know, all of a sudden we finally fall asleep and then dawn starts to peak and we slowly awaken and we start, you know, to me, to hear the little, you know, the little birds talking to each other. And then the smell of the wetness of the morning dew, the different flowers that open and blossom. And, you know, you know, to go out and you open your door and you just start, I don't care what kind of bird it is, I'll sing back to it. You know, I'll sing to the birds. And you know what? Those sorrows vanish. They vanish as we watch the bees and the butterflies. I mean, you know, to just watch them move and float across the flowers, you know, that is, to me, what brings fulfillment is the creation of life. It is absolutely stunning, and it can heal so many different sorrows. Beautiful, beautiful read, Sawa, and poem.
Thank you so much.
Thank you, Liu. Naomi, what did you think?
Ah, oh, it's so beautiful. I put it in my recommended pieces. This is so beautiful. I'd like to put it on my Facebook page, Salwa, with your permission, with your name on
Aww.
It, if I could.
Aww.
If I Aww. Could, because it's so beautiful. Like, I mean, in French, I don't write really a lot in French, and this is so beautiful in French. Ainsi le temps passera sans effacer ces instants de battement extraordinaire. It's just so beautiful. I'm apart with des moments de bonheur, mon esprit pleinement si harcelera. Mon Hélène dégustera la senteur de la rosée. Un chant d'oiseau déridera mes peines. Un beau papillon effleurera de loin mon visage. Just so beautiful in French. Oh, my gracious. I'm so happy that I know French, because I can savor this poem. It's like Sleeping Beauty waking up, you know, from a long sleep. It's just so like magically fairy-like, like that, like a fairy tale. It's just so beautiful. Just an amazing, amazing work here, Isawa. Just beautiful.
Thank you so much, Naomi. Thank you.
So soft.
Merci.
Mm, yes,
I favor the French one, too, I have to say. This one in particular. I could not translate it exactly. Never translate it, lost in translation, but so thank you for that.
It's beautiful in English,
well,
too.
Thank you.
Thank you, Naomi. Bobby, what are your thoughts?
I think that Salwa and Naomi should collaborate.
with the master Naomi.
The
treasure here. Covered treasure there. Oh, Salwa, as with all of your pieces, it is so delicate and ethereal, but it speaks to a feeling that if we've been lucky in our lives, we've known the pure joy of something, anything, just something that lifts your spirits up to where you are so indescribably happy and filled with joy that you cannot express it. And that's what this feels like to me, that you have transcended everything. This is the pure joy of living and of being in the moment. A song of a bird will cheer up my sorrows. A beautiful butterfly will brush my face. A kindness will instantly bring forth a delicate fulfillment in me. And I will seek to learn. And it does feel that way. It's one of the ways where you look about you and you look at your situation and you realize how extraordinarily lucky you are, and how I hesitate to use the word blessed because I think it's overused, but I will say fortunate in your circumstances to have happiness and health and good friends and the capability to do things that you want to do, and that's all the things that I see in this piece.
Thank you so much. Thank you so much, Bobby.
Wonderful comment. Thank you, Bobby. Okay, I have the next poem up here. It's by S. Sharp, and he has a recording, so I will play that. And here we go.
Concrete memory. The days pass as my memories fade of your Memphis black hair swing dancing in the spring winds that, like you, have left for higher aspirations. I try to recall the feeling of your hand in mine and think sometimes I can smell your perfume when I stand by the ocean where we stood together. But instead of memories, only waves crash in. Yet when I stroll to the mailbox out front every day, I can still hear your giggling embarrassment and see your green eyes shade. from when you accidentally walked in the concrete and the old guy said, "That's all right, I'm going to leave it that way."
Well, beautiful read. So this is based on a photo prompt of footprints in fresh cement. And that's by Daniel Ducino. But the poem itself was fantastic. You know, it had excellent flow, like excellent rhythm to it. Very descriptive, but you can feel the loss in that first stanza, the spring winds that, like you, have left for higher aspirations. And then he goes on to, "I try to recall the feeling of your hand in mine and think sometimes I can smell your perfume when I stand by the ocean where we stood together. But instead of memories, only waves crash in." Yeah, just a beautiful poem. Excellent write, excellent read as well. What did you think, Lou?
Well, I thought Sharp did a fantastic job of this. The imagery is deeply painful. I mean, now I understood the title of his poem, Concrete Memory. You know, so many times you can get involved with somebody that has other aspirations other than your own, or, you know, for whatever reason, the departure, you know, and, you know, when you go outside, you know, there's these memories, like, you know, like those her footsteps in the wet concrete that she had stepped in when she went to check the mail, that would always be there. So, you know, every time he goes out and checks the mail, there's that image of the man working on the sidewalk, her giggling, and her imprints that are, you know, that are in the concrete that he's left with, that he's left with the mark of her love on himself. And it's just deeply painful.
Absolutely. Thank you, Lou. And Naomi, what are your thoughts?
Yeah, this is, you know, one of those poems that can rarely do everything to you, like make mm-hmm. you feel all kinds of emotions all at the same time, like make you laugh at the end, but make you feel sad all through. You know, it's rare that a poem can do that. And this one does. You really feel, you know, he really brings out, you know, this black hair, dancing in the spring wind, the feeling of your hand in mine, the smell of your perfume, you know, all the giggling, her giggle. He brings in all the senses there, you know, the sight, the feelings, the smells, you know, beautiful imagery all throughout this. And it just caresses your emotions, you know, and makes them stand on, you know, a shiver, you know. Just such a beautiful write here, Scott, you know, and read so beautifully too. And yeah, just an amazing write all throughout.
Thank you, Naomi. And Bobby, what are your thoughts?
What a wonderful interpretation of the prompt. All of this visual imagery created from the image and that in itself is remarkable. There's this whole backstory of a missing the love of someone that he had. I stroll to the mailbox out front every day. I can still hear your giggling embarrassment and see your green eyes shake from when you accidentally walked in the cement, in the concrete. And the old guy said, "That's all right, I'm going to leave it that way." And, you know, you can picture that. And I find it remarkable that the piece is beautifully written and the inspiration of two footprints in concrete generated this wonderful, very impressive.
Absolutely. Thank you, Bobby. And Sawa, what are your thoughts?
Oh, amazing comment and amazing poem. I love how the imprint for me that of the prompt, I feel like sometimes when there's memories in life or person who really impact us deeply or we cannot forget, little things we might bring these memories back, and this imprint did bring those memories back. He reminded him of that incident, and not only that, all of her and who she is, and unforgettable memory that he saw notably to awaken all the yearning sensation. That it's so amazing, like when we taste something or see something or smell something, it's just bringing, even smile sometimes, it brings those memory back, and he brought them so powerfully. He can feel the yearning very deeply. Amazing piece.
Well said, thank you. Okay, so I've got the next write-up, and this is by Martha Gettle, and she has a recording as well, so I will play that.
It's Not My Fault by Martha Gettle. It's not my fault you fell in love with me. I never meant for you to fall completely. Everybody told you from the start that all I would do is break your heart. Now you act like you didn't know all along that I was the type to do you wrong. You know you were just waiting in line to let me mess with your mind. Now you sit around and cry the blues like you didn't know what I would do. You act innocent, but I know you knew exactly how this thing would go. You knew just what I would do, but thought it'd be different with you. If you had really given it some thought, you'd know a leopard doesn't change its spots. Now you sit around and cry the blues like you didn't know what I would do. You act the innocent, but I know you knew exactly how this thing would go. I'd say I'm sorry I only played with you, but we both know it wouldn't be true. You knew exactly what I am, and for you, I'd never really give a damn.
Yeah, that was in your face.
That's amazing.
Bobby, you're funny. But, she did a beautiful job singing that. I really liked the whole storyline of him, he knew what he was getting into and then cried the blues, it was a bit more than he could chew, I think, he bit off a little bit more than he could chew, and he let him know it, so, he knew exactly what I am, and for you, I'd never really give a damn. Yeah, just a hard-hitting poem. What did you think, Lee? Hello, Lee. Unmute.
Can you hear me now? Yeah. I'm unmuted. Yeah, this for some reason, I started hearing Hank Williams in the back of my head. Your cheating heart will make you weep. You'll cry and cry. And that's what I heard that guy. Excellent. That was pretty snarky for Martha. I hadn't, don't fall in love with me because, I'm not for you, but he didn't listen, so now he's crying.
Great comment, Lou. Thank you. And Naomi, what did you think?
I just love this, you know. It's like empowerment, you know. I just love the lines. If you had really given it some thought, you'd know a leopard doesn't change its spots. I just love that you put it in there like that. The leopard, there she is. She just went through this with a growl. It's just amazing right here. I loved it.
Thank you, Naomi. And Bobby, what are your thoughts?
I think this is a departure, as we've all noticed, from Martha's usual themes. And I hope to see more like this from her. Because you had one song in the back of your mind. I was hearing Nancy Sinatra. These boots are made for walking.
For walking.
For you.
Excellent song.
That's what I was hearing.
They're going to walk all over you.
Yeah. I say I'm sorry I only played with you. We both know it wouldn't be true. You know exactly what I am. I would never really give it. I don't think I've ever seen you, Martha, use the word damn before. It got the same response from me as it did from the audience when Clark Gable tells Vivian Leigh, frankly, mm-hmm. my dear, I don't give a damn. I remember watching it at a theater, and the whole audience went, because they weren't hearing. The audience gasped. Because they weren't used to hearing profanity, and now we know that pales by comparison. But then just has the same effect for me. It's like, Martha, you chart, you scoundrel. I like this. See,
very
good
comment. Thank you, Bobby.
Did quite well.
Yeah, that's
comment.
True.
Thank you, Bobby. And Sal, what are your thoughts?
Oh, this is really, I love this piece. So humorous. Such a beautiful song and so beautifully sang. I had to put myself on mute laughing so hard. It has a mess. And I mean, as everyone said, you did not listen. It's not my fault. Now cry. Louis said it so beautifully. It's incredible. Really incredible. She's just, I mean, the way she sang it. I like it. I really loved it. Amazing.
Excellent comment. Thank you, Naomi. I mean, thank you, Sawa. Do you mind
fine, thank
the next
you.
One, please?
Yes. Did you put it up?
Yeah. It's by Lawrence 67.
Okay. Wild, Wild West by Lawrence 67. Everything I know about the Wild West, I learned from my uncle. He was a larger-than-life, barrel-chested, take-no-shit cousin tobacco-chewing, a behemoth of a man. I remember when I was 7 or 8 years old, my father would, once a year, pick up his old Ford stick-shift gear grinder with the beat-up camper in the back. My brother and I would jump in the back with our blankets and pillows, and he would take an 8-hour trip to the Badlands of New Mexico to visit my uncle and our cousins. We could hardly wait for the trip to end so that we could sit around the campfire listening to my favorite uncle tell us about the Wild West. All us kids would sit around the campfire as we waited for our uncle to take center stage. He would come out of his room with his clanking spurs and his large sombrero, a stub cigarette dangling off the bottom lip as he walked up to the center of our circle. We all sat in anticipation. Uncle spit his little stub of the cigarette into the fire and fixed his large belt buckle so you could cut the tension with a bowie knife and... Let's say a couple of minutes have gone by and you ask, well, what did your uncle say about the Wild West? And I would answer, oh,
my uncle could not talk. He would just swing his arms and fingers all over the place. You see, he never learned to talk. When he was a little uncle, he was injured in all-you-can-eat contest, and he bit off his tongue eating a bunch of lemon pies. He mistook his tongue for a lemon slice and bit it off completely off. We just like to watch his hand and finger gestures. They're cool. My uncle was cool. Wild, Wild West. End poem.
Wow. That was a great read, Lee. But, you know, it's a wonderful story, you know, of this trip out to the Badlands of New Mexico, or Mexico, as you said, Lee. You know, to meet this, your uncle and your cousins, and your uncle was this larger-than-life figure who would come out his room with a sombrero and a cigarette dangling from his lips. you could picture all that as he said it, you know, spit his little stub of a cigarette into the fire and fixed his large belt buckle. You could cut the tension with a Bowie knife. And let's say a couple minutes have gone by and you ask, well, did your uncle say anything about the Wild West? I'd answer, oh, my uncle could not talk. He would just wave his arms and fingers all over the place. And then you hear about his tongue being lost and another
yeah,
eating
me
pie eating contest. Just a beautiful,
black and white
beautiful
movie.
Night. Mm-hmm. Yeah, you know. Excellent write, excellent read, Lee. And what did you think, Lee?
Well, it was fantastic storytelling. You know, the thing with this is that I don't know if it's true or not, because I know that my cousin stuck his tongue trying to lick the inside of a freezer and he got it stuck in there. But, you know, it reminded me of, you know, the olden days where people would tell stories and, you know, you would have to guess, what is charades? And, you know, and people could tell stories with their body movements. And it didn't matter. You know, it was that uncle had a personality that I would have gone every summer to New Mexico just to watch him do that.
Absolutely. Thank you, Lee. Beautiful comment. And Naomi, what did you think?
Yeah, well, knowing Lawrence, I think this is just storytelling on his behalf, just because he always has a story to make us laugh, and I think that was his intention again. You know, we always laugh at Lawrence's pieces, and you know, and to build up that tension, he did it so well, you know, and the imagery he used in that first. The first part there, all the imagery is just wonderful, and then the description of the uncle himself, you
mm-hmm.
know, is just
the truck.
On point. You know, it's just so. And then you know, and Louie, the way you read it, oh my gracious, it just brought out all the emphasis, you know, all the power of the piece. It was such a wonderful, wonderful read of this. And, yeah, just an amazing, amazing piece, and it made me laugh, you know, till the end, at the end, you know. So just an amazing, amazing story writing here by Lawrence, 67.
Great comment.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you. And, Bobby, what did you think?
Still art. My father was a storyteller. I like to think I inherited that part of the gene pool from him. And in reading this story, the way he spins the beginning of the yarn, leading to a certain point that you could cut the tension with a Bowie knife, and all of a sudden it goes anticlimactic on you, and you're like, what the hell? You know, it's like it reminds me of a commercial that used to I can't remember what product it was for, but it was this gorgeous woman, and she's obviously won a beauty contest. And the announcer says, "Well, what do you think you're going to do next?" And you know, you see this stunning creature, and the next thing, she opens her mouth and she has a voice like breaking glass. But you know, oiled roller skate, like chalkboard, fingernails across a chalkboard, and
oh,
the image is just completely destroyed. And that's what he has done deliberately at the end of this, is he has set up this wonderful image of this old, gnarled person from the Old West. And next thing you know, he can't talk. I was like, oh, man. And it's done with such skill and such panache.
Yeah. How is that? Yeah.
He's done the ending, and it was like a trick on all of the readers. It's beautifully done.
Absolutely. Well said. Thank you, Bobby. And Sawa, what are your thoughts? Hello, Sawa.
Sorry. I agree with everyone. It's just hilarious. I had to put myself on mute. We're laughing so hysterically. I was sitting in anticipation, too, and instead, I didn't know to feel bad or laugh at the end. I was just, oh my God, the poor guy. No, so well done. He got us really bad.
Absolutely. Thank you, Sawa. And thank you, everybody, for calling in tonight and sharing your hearts, your minds, your voices, and most especially your time. Much love, poets. Have a good night.
Good night, everybody. Love you guys.
Good night. Kisses all around.
Good night. Yes, kisses all around. All right. Good night.
Yeah, good night, everybody.
Good night.